the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, we had shots from a youngster called Zach McCaskey. That's what we know him as, Zach McCaskey, coming into the Barbados side. Mind you, Kyle Mayers got a rest today, and he took his opportunities and made 131. We know he can bat. 13 fours and four sixes. In fact, I was speaking to his dad before he came on the show, Dr. McCaskey, and he's quite happy with his son's performance. We're hoping a little bit later on to make contact with him or someone from the Barbados team. I would imagine that they're on their way back to the five-star hotel. Make it four, really. Hilton there in, of course, we're talking Trinidad and Tobago, Port of Spain. So the Barbados team winning that match 314 for seven. And CCC, Shane Darwish continues to make runs. I hope the selectors are actually watching. 86 today. They made 266 in 45 overs and two balls. And the Leewards had a victory against the Windwards. Maybe it's the coach for the Windwards, because it's interesting that at when they played last time, well, there was a South African who actually coached them the second position. But we see that Mr. Peters has taken over. And they have been up and down, up and down, up and down, more wayward than anything else, the Windwards. 179 all out, another loss for them. The lead was 293. Of course, Basil Butcher, this is Basil Butcher Jr. Of course, the scene has gone to the great beyond, is with us again. And we're going to be taking a look at the Super 50. And of course, we also want to look at the World Cup. The English, what's going on with them? Oh my golly, England, six matches, they've lost five, just 2 points. And I had to find someone from England to talk to me. I couldn't get Jeff Boycott, I couldn't get Mike Atherton. No, these guys don't want to talk to me. But I found a man called David Brooks. He's already online. He's going to be telling us, of course, what's gone wrong with England. The Indians are doing well. Six matches, they've had six victories. South Africa, six matches, five wins, 10 points. New Zealand, well, they've lost a game, a very tight match they lost against Australia. The Australians, you better watch them. They had a slow start. And in fact, last week on the show, we had Ricardo Alcock making the point that he expects the Australians to go on to win this. And don't be surprised if they do. They've got a big, big side. India looking very good. And we asked the question on Mason Guest this evening, who will win the World Cup? We can open the lines and certainly get some reaction from you. Well, in terms of what's happening in terms of cricket West Indies, well, we carried that story a long time ago with Jimmy Adams, who's going to be the assistant batting coach. We also carried the story about Sean Tate actually taking over. In fact, it was all on the weekend. We tend to do it first here on Mason and Guests. And it means that Kenny Benjamin, I've been trying to get Kenny Benjamin for the last 4 days. He wouldn't answer his phone. Can you imagine that? Flipper Benjamin, he normally talks to me, but I don't know what's going on. I'm hearing that Sean Tate is going to take over as the assistant bowling coach. And millions of dollars to Kensington Oval. A big spruce up for them. We hope to get some reaction from someone at the BCA. I've done a lot of talking. Time to go to my panel. I see some wonderful gentlemen. No Dr. for tonight. He's on a big conference there in the States, he tells me. Of course, Philo Wallace is with me. Basil Butcher Jr. has joined me. And we're going to go to England and speak to David Brooks. And we have to have a Jamaican flavor. Jamaica land, we love. Stir response to Judy Scull, Nehemiah Perry, and the great Ambassador Courtney Andrew Walsh is with us. So we've got a big, big team. And of course, we're going to be getting some reaction. But before I do anything else, let me go to, should I say the mother country? Sometimes when you say that, people get a bit upset with you. But let's go and speak to David Brooks. Hello, David. Is it David Brooks or is it David Brooks? Let's be plural. Let's put the S on. How are you, David? How are you, my friend? David? David, you're muted.
Yes, sorry, Andrew. Great to see you, Andrew. Great to hear you and your illustrious guest. Can I just big a shout out to Courtney Walsh? He's got a lot of love and affection for him in the UK, not just in the county of Gloucestershire.
I see. Hello, Courtney. Someone is saying hello to you, David Brooke. Courtney, where are you?
Hello, David. I'm here. Hello, David. How are you? Good to see you. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah,
hello,
okay.
Yes. Hope everyone is safe.
Wonderful. Now, David, can you tell me what's going wrong with England? Something is wrong. Tell me.
Well, we can pick from many. I'm going to choose two things that have gone wrong. The first one is the preparation. Last time before the World Cup, England played 11 50-over matches. This time, only four. Three of them against Ireland with the second-string team. Secondly, the leadership. Butler and a fellow called Michael Mott, who I hadn't heard of before, had taken over as the ODI coach, a man with no international men's experience. Okay, he did lead the Australia women's team, but has got no experience of coaching the men's team. And he doesn't actually know English cricket very well. And he's, you know, and I think that's been evident in the selections. Joss Butler, the captain, has failed to lead this team. But I think that if you want me to sum it up, Andrew, they've taken a T20 mentality into a 50-over competition. We've been gorging ourselves on short-form cricket in England with the 100 and the T20 blast. We haven't been playing any 50-over cricket. It's been relegated to a second-level competition. And if you take a T20 approach into a 50-over competition in India, where the tracks are not flat, where the bowling like Shami and Bumrah, you've got a real problem, and England have been devoid of any leadership technique, and they've taken this 2020. Some would say it's Basball's fault. Now, I don't think it is Basball's fault, because that worked well enough in the Test arena, but we under this new leadership team of Mott and Butler, it's been sadly lacking. Lack of preparation, lack of care for the 50-over format, treating it just like a 20-over competition. It's much closer, actually, to test match conditions. When you saw Shami bowling for India against England a couple of days ago, that was test match cricket. And we didn't have any answer to it. We've forgotten how to defend, and we've forgotten how to take singles. Oh, I'm getting a fine signal from Andrew. Keep going. Keep going.
Yes, well, in fact, I was muted as well.
Oh, you were muted. I could say more. I could say more. You see, we lack someone like Courtney Walsh. That's who we need. That's who we need in our setup. Someone with the experience of big international cricket. Courtney, we need you. I was in Bristol yesterday. They're still calling your name on every street corner in Bristol, Courtney.
Courtney.
The boys in Bristol are good. The boys in Bristol are very good. They have been tough. Mr. Proctor reached out to me, and we've been having a little chat on WhatsApp as well with the boys. They're in good spirit. They're very happy. They're a good bunch of boys at the moment.
So, Courtney, does that mean that you're going to be picking up a big job in England soon? Give us a scoop.
No. David have to send the contract.
Now, your assessment, though, Courtney Walsh, I mean, what's happening with England? Because I'm very concerned. I mean, what's your assessment of them and the entire World Cup, Courtney?
I think from what I've seen, and David summed it up right just now when he mentioned, they played only 450 over games. So obviously the preparation has been tampered with a little bit, because three of them is against Ireland. You're not disrespecting Ireland, but if you're going to go into a World Cup, you want to have some matches that are going to get you competitive so you can sort of fine-tune your team. That's one. Two, all the form players or the league players that they have, nobody has stand up. Nobody has come forward and says, well, okay, I want to make a mark on this World Cup. I don't think they expected that. They expected that someone at some point in time would put their hand up. It just has not. Plus, they haven't played good cricket. They haven't played good and consistent cricket at all. So, I mean, the teams that have beat them, it's not upset that they played good quality cricket. And I think that's one of the things that people are not saying.
I see.
Teams that have beat England, they have played good quality cricket.
Mm-hmm, I see. So, what about India so far, Cuddy?
But they're home. They have the home advantage and they've been utilizing it well. And they have shown good depth in both batting and bowling. The feeling is always good to them. But I'm impressed with how they've gone about. They're not just relying on spin. Ashwin Kanger is in the team. So it's not like they're saying we're going to have spin a friend of the wicket to suit us here in India.
Mm-hmm.
They put up the last game against England, the wicket was seeming about all over the shop.
Mm-hmm. I see. And South Africa?
Their seam has come to the party and bowl extremely well. So they are, to me, in a very good position. They're home. They have backed themselves with the depth they have in the team.
Right.
They have practiced well for this competition and they're playing good cricket.
Mm-hmm. I see. Nehemiah Perry, you agree with that fellow Jamaican, Courtney Walsh? Hello, Mr. Perry.
Yes, yes. I'm here. I'm unable to do the camera, but I'm hearing. I'm listening very, very well. Yes, I agree with all that was said. You know, England just not looking confident at all. Not looking confident at all when they go out there to perform. Yes, you have some team that is you know, doing very well, perform, are prepared better than England. And that is why they are looking very, very, very lacklustred. Very disappointed because I know they have the quality. I know they have the ability to do much, much better than what they are doing right now. So, you know, I'm very, very, very disappointed. But I just said that, I mean, India, don't take anything away from India. I mean, India at their home, they have a crowd advantage. The pitches suit them. It's almost like IPL kind of wicket, good wicket to bat on. You can't write them off. They are at home. They are one of the teams you have to really beat in India to get to put your hand on that World Cup. You have to go through India, and that's going to be very, very difficult under the condition.
Yes,
but all in all, I've seen some very, very good cricket, and I also see some ordinary cricket. And some ordinary cricket meaning teams like England, and you know, really seeing Afghanistan coming through, playing some good, attractive cricket, and that is pleasing to see, considering where they are coming from, and they are showing real serious improvement. And I think definitely that West Indies would be struggling. Definitely will struggle against Afghanistan at this point.
Oh dear, that's a big statement. West Indies will struggle. Why would you say that, Nehemiah?
All right. Do you remember Afghanistan beat West Indies before? They have beaten us before. Every time we play them in recent time, we it's not a clear cut that we're gonna be rolling them over. When you look at how they have performed, how they have come along with their game, and I think West Indies has been very stagnant in their performance in terms of consistency. So if a team is evolving and you are just basically stagnant and not moving forward, I see teams like Afghanistan, teams like Zimbabwe, teams like Namibia, all these teams, USA, are improving in their whole approach and structure, and you know, you can actually see the improvement over a period of time. I am not seeing it from the West Indies standpoint. I'm not seeing it consistently. I'm not seeing it, and it worries me that even the Champions Trophy, I don't think we were making that either. So I'm very, very concerned with West Indies cricket right now.
I see. Let's go to Philo Wallace. Philo, England continue to play poorly, and then after that I want to come to a regional matter, because making the big news is that Raymond Reef has been suspended in terms of his bowling action. You know, you see that slow ball is a problem. So I'll get your reaction, Philo, in relation to England, and then I'd like to hear you in relation to Reefa. Good evening to you, sir. Or rather, good night to you.
Hi, good evening. Good evening to David Brooke, Ambassador Walsh, belated birthday greetings to Ambassador Walsh, Nehemiah Price, and Basil Butcher Jr. Oh, my friend Sherlock Hart, Heaven, and Carlos. Andrew England started badly. There was a cloud over the selection of that World Cup squad. And when you start wrong, you end wrong. To me, when you're going to pick a 50-over World Cup squad, you need solidity at the top. You can't put makeshift. I think it has gone to makeshift, and they found themselves wanting. There was a guy by the name of Jason Roy.
Yes.
Who was the opening batter, who fitted in quite nicely at the top. But then Harry Brooke came along and scored a lot of runs in the middle. They started to juggle him up and down. And then they said, look, we'll go back, and Ben Stokes said that he would come out of retirement. But if you're gonna pick a World Cup squad, you can't pick a World Cup squad with guys who are not fit. New Zealand have the same problem, you know, because Tim Saudi is in India with a busted finger. He said that it's okay. But they're not risking him. It's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do later on in the tournament. But England has started badly. And that loss against New Zealand hurt England. They got jumped in that first game to be beaten so badly by New Zealand. They never recovered. And their bowlers, they continued not doing well. The ball not swinging for some of them. And they're just a little ordinary. And they just got one at the World Cup with the 10 best 50-over teams in the world, Andrew. You have to hit the ground running. They're all complaining about not playing enough cricket, but it was their decision. It was their decision to stay and play T20 cricket because they saw it as fan team and bringing in the crowds, and they decided to play T20 cricket. I know they're struggling. They're suffering because of that. And they're going to have a look at it at the end and look to do something different. They can't qualify for the Champions Trophy because they're 17 plus the host Pakistan, which is 8. So they're at the bottom. And I can't see them coming up. They have three more games to play, and I can't see them even winning two of those three games. It's going to be uphill to us. It's a bad World Cup for them. And they just have to go back to the drawing board, Robert Key and Martin, Josh Butler, the selectors, and see where they can go from there. I was just reading in one of the media that they have to build a World Cup squad around Harry Brooke now. And if that is the case, they had a second string team that played against Ireland and some guys for this and good performances. We know that they're coming out to the West Indies in early December. So maybe we'll get to see some of those new shining stars in the Caribbean. But they started badly, and they have to try and finish as strong as possible just to save a little shame. It's just unfortunate, Andrew, for Raymond Reefer. It might sound a little muffled because I'm just coming home, getting over the flu. It's just unfortunate. When I saw the release there just now, I was surprised because at that pace, I don't see how you actually, how we could try things illegally. He's not the fastest bowler in the world. He's just a fast medium bowler. And to have that setback now for Raymond Reefer, I think that he will have to deal with it as a man will have to deal with it. The people in Trinidad, the coaches down there will have to see how best they can help him to focus mentally. I don't know if he's going to play in the next game as a batter, but certainly that'll be a setback for Raymond Reefer. It's just unfortunate.
Well, what advice would you have for him, Philo? If you had to see him now, what would you tell him?
Well, whatever I have to see him right now, I would go and tell him to sit down with the analyst and go through all his videos when he was bowling and see back when he was bowling well to what has caused this problem. With his action, I saw him bowl a couple of games, and he's very, very low in his delivery. Maybe trying too hard, looking to do too many things, all these variations that these guys want to bowl with different balls, causing some problems. Action is not as consistent as it used to be. Obviously, he will have to sit down with the analysts and go through his action, and then they have the coaching staff in Trinidad and see how best they can help him. But he will need the help sooner rather than later because he's also part of a West Indies setup. So he will need to try and get his action sorted out so he can get back into bowling. But bowling is the other asset of his cricket.
Basil Butcher Jr., I mean, were you surprised when you saw that release coming from Cricket West Indies in relation to Reefer?
No, not at all. I have commented on his action for quite a long time now and was wondering when this inevitability was going to occur. So I am not surprised at all.
Oh my golly. Oh. No. Cuddy Walsh, I mean, it's unfortunate for Raymond, you know, as a coach. What would you say to him? I mean, this must be, for him, a very difficult time. What would you say to him, Courtney?
It's a very, very difficult time for him. If you just sum it up, well, he's got to go back and look at his reaction beforehand. To see where it might have gone wrong. Based on the report he has, because they would have to report what, where, and how for him to look at it. Would have to show me this, I would imagine. And then that's when the coaches have to come in to try to rectify that. It's unfortunate it's happened so late in his career. But it's something that he's going to have to man up to now and try to see if he can rectify that at this stage of his career.
I see. In terms of coaching, Cuddy, I'm hearing that Sean Tate is going to be going with the West Indies side as the assistant bowling coach when they go to Australia. I'm hearing that your good friend Jimmy Adams is going to be there as the assistant batting coach. Have you heard anything at all, Cuddy?
I've heard whispers, but I haven't gotten confirmation. But you know, you always have the news and the confirmations going your way. So if you say so, then someone else will have to come and tell me it's not so. So I'll just have to wish both gentlemen well and see how things work out. But you said Australia as well. I didn't know we were going to Australia.
Yes, we're going to Australia, in November, okay. Yes.
And in November.
Yeah, and Sean Tate is supposed to be the man.
Wow. No Kenny Benjamin, no Kurt Lambrose.
Okay. No, not at all. No Cuddy Walsh.
No, I was a woman, so they banned me with women.
But how are you doing though, Cuddy? I mean, do you miss the job as head coach of the women?
Yeah, I would be lying if I say I didn't miss it, because I thought we were on a path of trying to get the ladies fit and rearing to go and try to get the pool a lot wider. Our pool is very small, and it's not going to happen overnight. So whosoever is involved with that job is going to have some work cut out to do. And you have to plan long-term, because Steffa Taylor is not 16 anymore. Haley is the young one there. DeAndre is not around playing. So there's a lot of void there. And the young ones who are there, you know, they have to be sort of fast-track in some sense. But at the same time, you have to ensure that the headspace is very good and physically they are fit. And I think that's going to be some of the challenges that the new head coach will have to face. The younger ones are not going to just get ready overnight. They're going to need time. You know, we have a fair amount of young ones that can be worked on. So I think this A team in Pakistan is exactly what we've been crying out for from my took over. Let the young ones go and play some A team cricket. So I'm very, very happy that they're not Pakistan with the A team playing now, because that's where the girls are going to develop by playing. And I'll not stop saying that these girls need to play a lot more cricket than we have been playing. So the A teams, the regional tournament is too short. You can't carry them for 3 weeks and play two competitions in 3 weeks and expect. No, you got to give them some more time. Spread that competition in two zones. When they focus on 50 over cricket, just 50 over cricket. And bring them back later on in the year and let them do 20-20. So the coaches can plan and strategize what they want to do. Focus just on 50 over cricket in our domestic tournament. Play it a little bit longer if they play each other twice or whatever. And then the same thing with the T20. But to have two competitions in 3 weeks, it's not giving them enough time.
I see. So what are you doing nowadays, Ambassador Walsh? I mean, what are you doing? You're in Antigua?
I'm in Antigua, based in Antigua still. I was in England with the 100 for the women's 100, the Oval Invincible. That was a very tremendous experience. I saw some of the men's game. I was down with Tom Moody and the guys when they were playing. So it was really, really good. A night eye-opener. I'm going to be going off to India with Legends League as one of the coaches next month.
Well, wonderful.
In November. For a 3-week stint. So, you know, I'm trying to get involved in franchise cricket as much as I can as well. And see what happens from there. But I still follow West Indies cricket. I follow the ladies with the A team. I follow the A team. I'm watching the academy and team. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm West Indian. But all I care about this year is follow.
Well, I'm sure they'll consider you again sometime in the future, Ambassador Walsh.
Andrew.
Let's see how that works out, Andrew.
Yes, Basil. Yes, Basil.
I want to ask Courtney a question in relation to when he was there as a head coach. When the players came home from a series or they went to a camp and they went back to the territories, what was the process in relationship with what your communication or your other coaches' communication with the territorial coaches as to the things that needed to be done with players coming back from a tour or players coming back from a camp?
When they just came out from a tour, when I just took over, we had them with specific coaches in Guyana. The tour three coaches were working with them on what we wanted to get them done. In Barbados, had a system, and Corey would go and help them with other coaches there. And in Jamaica, they did that junior, but it went down, and we tried to get it replicated in all territory, but that didn't last the way it should have. So when we came up from tour now, the girls just went backwards. The only time they get sort of up to speed again is when they come into camp. So it was difficult because you have to be restarting every time. So it's something that has to be addressed. The regional board has to get a little bit more involved. I was fortunate that I just took over, that was happening. And you could see the readiness and thing. The one thing that was lacking then was the fitness, but we got that up to par. It still needs to improve. But when the girls came back home, they were catching time to go and practice. In Guyana, they didn't know who to go to. I was trying to message someone, and they were trying to find someone. And it's to me, that's not, it can't work like that.
Oh.
There needs to be a system in place where when they go back to their territory board, they know exactly where to go and who we can lays with to have them in the system. So I'm hoping that that comes through very quickly. Or that is now sorted.
I see.
Right.
All right, but stay with us. What we're going to do now is we're going to have a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go back to David. We don't want to keep him up too much longer. I know he's a man, he likes his sleep. It's way past his bedtime. But Mason and Guest brought an association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, let's go back to David Brooks now, our good friend, noted journalist there in England. David, are you in England? Just hearing some noise there. Are you in England, David, or are you in India? David?
I had a spell in India for the first 2 weeks. I'm back in England now.
Mm.
And, you know, World Cup without West Indies, it really isn't the same. You're only two representatives, Joel Wilson doing a great job as umpire, and young Carlos Brathwaite on the airwaves for the BBC doing a fine job too.
Mm.
And Ian Bishop,
don't forget the great man.
I forgot about the Bish. Can I also pay my respects to your other distinguished guests? I'm the only one old enough on this show to remember Basil Butcher Sr. My first match I saw, Sussex versus the West Indies, 1966. That will date me. But I was a tremendous fan of Basil Butcher Sr. and great to meet Basil Butcher Jr. Can I also pick up on Philo's point? Respect to you, Philo. Jason, about the absence of Jason Roy from the top of the order. Now, Jason Roy, there are parallels here with West Indies cricket. Jason Roy elected not to sign his England central contract. Instead of chose to go in the middle of the season to leave Surrey and to go and play for the Los Angeles Cowboys or whatever it was in the latest T20 franchise thing. He hasn't played a long-form match, a 50-over match, or a first-class match for over a year and a half. You know, it's no preparation at all. And given when he had his opportunity to prove his worth, he was injured. So it would have been a leap of faith to pick him. And if you look at the problems that England have, they've taken a T20 mentality into this tournament. You know, listening about 50-over competition going on, the Super 50 in the Caribbean, you know, and I'm delighted to hear my favourite player, Carl Mayers, getting a century, dropped far too early from West Indies Test match team. You know, he's a very, very good batsman. I'm also pleased to see Nkrumah Bonner scoring some runs, another forgotten man in the Test match team, not to mention Shane Dowridge, which you did. But that 50-over competition, you know, it's being keenly contested by the top players. Contrast that with what happened in England this summer. The 50-over competition was played at the same time as the 100, The Hunter had all the best players. I mean, the Oval Invincibles team that Courtney was involved with was a very, very strong side playing the 100 ball competition. At the same time, the 50 over competition was taking place, which became a second 11 competition. It was downplayed. It was devalued. And so these players went in. I mean, Joss Butler hasn't played a first class cricket match since he was dropped from the test team. These players have the opportunity to play first class cricket. They have the opportunity to play 50 over cricket and they're not taking it. And those are the players that have been found wanting in this tournament. If you look at the players who are performing, it's all format players. Players who can play all formats. They're the ones, whether it's Virat Kohli, whether it's Daryl Mitchell, New Zealand, you know, whether it's Jasprit Bumrah, these are the players, Shami, these are the players, all multi-format players who are showing that 50-over game is different to the T20. England are trying to hit their way out of trouble. And really, if you look at that recording of their batting against India, I mean, you could put that on a permanent loop and really play it for people to say, look, this is not a 20-over game. A quick 20 or 30 from the likes of Liam Livingstone. I mean, Liam Livingstone's preparation for the World Cup was three months in the gym and power hitting, you know, range hitting.
What?
You know, yeah, it's no preparation at all for a 50-over match in challenging conditions. And with people like Rhys Topley, you know, he only bowls 4-over spells. These days he's not apparently fit enough to bowl any more than that. So why he was given the new ball, I'm not quite sure. You've got Moeen Ali, who had to be dragged into playing the Ashes. And he's gone back to playing franchise cricket only. And I think that's an issue, you know, that these players are gorging themselves on T20 stuff. It's short-term money, but it's long-term peril as far as 50-over and test cricket is concerned. And just if I can just make one comment about, you know, what Courtney said about, I totally agree with what Cuddy said. You can't, you know, compete if you're not playing enough cricket. And I'm very disappointed to see, you know, that with COVID and that being used as a continual reason why West Indies aren't playing enough regional cricket. And, you know, to go to Australia without that first-class cricket, enough of first-class cricket behind them. Say what you like about Dave Cameron. He doubled the amount of regional cricket in the region. He got all the regional players contracted. And from where I sit in England, it's gone downhill since Dave Cameron left.
Oh, it's a big statement to make. Big statement. Basil, do you agree with that?
I don't necessarily agree with that. The standard of our cricket in the region, whether if we play 10 matches, the players aren't improving. If you're going to play 10 matches, it must be 10 competitive matches. So wasting money playing low standard cricket is not taking us anywhere. And so therefore, it's incumbent on the regional territorial boards to do a job in each of their territory to upgrade the standard so that when they pick a regional team, we get good players, competitive players. Courtney Walsh could talk about that. When he played first class cricket, it was serious competition. But when you look at a first class match now in the West Indies, it's an absolute joke. As what we watch currently with the regional 50 over tournament. It's some of the worst cricket I have seen in all of my life in West Indies.
Oh dear.
You know,
Is it that bad, Basil?
Teams are struggling to make 200 runs in a 50-over match. And juxtapose that to us watching a World Cup, right? Like, for example, David made an excellent point. You've seen in this World Cup where guys who played a longer format, because at many times they had to go into test match mode while batting. Wait, the bowling is really good, the wicket doing something, wait it out. And then when it gets easier, they could attack, right? Mm-hmm. We got guys, when we watch our games with the 50 over, all they're trying to do is hit their way out of a tough situation. Because why? Lots of them have very little experience playing the longest format. So digging in is an alien concept to them.
Well, that's why the 18s are important. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that England sent an 18 to play in the West Indies 4-day tournament. It included Ben Stokes, it included Johnny Bairstow, and Chris Wokes, and they didn't have it all their own way by any means. They found it tough competition. So I think you're being a bit harsh there, Baz. You're taking after your father's generation, who like to knock the current crop of players. I think there's lots of great talented players in the West Indies still, but they're not given enough cricket. They're not given enough opportunities to build on their skills. So, you know, going to Australia on the back of three first-class matches, it's a tough assignment for anyone. England, there were 16 first-class matches.
I'm not blaming the players now, David. I am blaming the structure. The players are a reflection of the structure.
Mm.
So I quite understand the structure that they're coming out of. We can't expect more. And so my critique is on the structure. So when you were praising Mr. Cameron, that's where I back that. Because our structure has been going down the line for all these years.
Well, I seem to remember the last series under Cameron, West Indies beat England 2-1 in a test series. Now, that wasn't so long ago. The whole of the coaching staff were removed. Pybus, Toby Radford, Basbert Drakes, my friend from Guyana, whose name escapes me at the moment, was the assistant coach. Very, very good coach.
Crandon.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Crandon. All removed without any explanation or reason. And, you know, so politics has got in the way. The change of regime got in the way. I've utmost respect for Ricky Skerritt, what he's achieved. But I think the change of regime has had unfortunate impact on the rest of West Indies cricket. And by the way, seeing Ambassador Courtney there, what about Bangladesh? Their bowlers have gone downhill since Courtney was coaching them. When Courtney was in charge of Bangladesh's bowlers, they were it all the time. And their bowlers just haven't come to the party. They're being kicked out of the tournament today by losing to Pakistan. So I really think that it's a crime that Cuddy's skills are not being utilised on the big stage. And I'm sure it won't be long before they turn back to him with all his knowledge and experience and show what an impact he had on Bangladesh pace bowlers and spinners and on all there. They haven't shown that in this World Cup. I'll give some praise to Jonathan Trott. He used to be seen as a very defensive player for England, but he won a lot of ODI matches. He's re-emerged as the coach of Afghanistan, and he's given them some real composure and solidity, and their batting has been one of the highlights of this World Cup. So, we need more coaches like Cuddy Walsh and Jonathan Trott.
But David Brooke, you know why Afghanistan is batting the way they're batting? Because the coach is saying to them, get ahead of the run rate by batting discipline. And that is what they've done. If you look at the game yesterday, they lost the very skillful opening batter, Gabraz. But he's 21 years old. The other partner is 21. But the guy who came in at number 3 had no pressure because the plan was in the first 10 overs would be 50, and the second 10 would be 100. So they had a plan. There was no pressure at all. And Donald Trump is the kind of player, he gets ahead of the run rate and stays there. They don't fall behind the run rate. They stay on top of the run rate from the get-go with normal cricket shots. He's brought a calmness to their batting, and the bowling is obviously supporting it quite nicely. Because you got that left-hand seamer who is underrated, who gets the ball to swing, he bowls with a lot of energy. And I'm standing that there's a Super 50 going on in the Caribbean, and you have Courtney Walsh sitting in Antigua. Now, I believe that Ambassador Walsh should be either in Jamaica franchise or the Leeward Islands franchise to help the fast bowlers. For cricket in the Caribbean, it's only going to get better if we get the fast bowlers. That is why India and New Zealand and Afghanistan are good. We don't look at fast bowling, but fast bowling brings every area of cricket into sync.
Yes,
absolutely.
West Indies. Administrators need to wake up.
Absolutely.
Get our fast bowling stock ready. We have all the people in the Caribbean, the great fast bowlers. I don't know who is Sean Tate. I had a friend named Tate that used to work at the Water Authority in Barbados, and he died years ago. We have the fast bowlers in the Caribbean that can bring our fast bowlers through with some nice guidance, and we can deliver. We like
well, one of West Indies' finest.
Mm. All the Indian coaching staff are Indians.
Yes. So
I think we've been down that road.
And they are ruling the roost.
That one, Fino. We've been down that road. When there was a regime change, the current administration insisted on Caribbean coaches for all roles. I think that was a mistake. I think Pybus and Radford, Toby Radford, were doing a good job. I think it's a mistake to restrict themselves to that. But I agree, Courtney rather than Sean Tate. But I think also that, you know, when you look at one of West Indies' finest fast bowlers of the current generation, Kemar Roach, you know, he is really performing, has done brilliantly well for Surrey. He's had another spectacular year for them in winning the county championship. He made a statement saying that he wants, you know, test cricket is the thing for him. And Craig Brathwaite, I know, with similar sentiments, but you're not getting any favours from the ICC, are you? There's less and less test cricket. Mm. There's less, you know, and it's about time world cricket equalised your resources. India, England and Australia, the so-called big three, have hijacked the game. They've got all the resources and they need these resources need to be distributed more equally to allow the likes of West Indies, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka to continue to grow. Sri Lanka are in economic emergency conditions. Their cricket is suffering as a result. It's about time that world cricket realised that it needs to be a game played between teams of equal resources and opportunities. And I would love to see West Indies. I mean, England are not touring West Indies playing any test matches in the next 5 year cycle. Absolute disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever, I think that's a result of the English Cricket Board's decision under Tom Harrison, the last regime. It's an absolute disgrace. They're coming over and playing five T20s and three ODIs and no test matches, but not till, you know, not in this cycle. That's wrong. You know, the last time England came to the Caribbean for a test series, England lost. Mm-hmm. You know, the last chairman described West Indies as mediocre. He had those words firmly rammed down his throat by Jason Holder and the boys in that series. So I would say, you know, it's a tough time for West Indies being excluded from this World Cup and now the Champions Trophy. We suddenly discover that the qualification for the Champions Trophy is based on the World Cup. Well, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just exclude West Indies. I tell you, it looks like it's going to exclude England as well, with Netherlands as the only European representative. Maybe there's a time to play a bilateral test series during the Trophy between England and West Indies. They won't have anything else to do.
Yes.
But I would like to ask Cricket West Indies a question.
Mm.
If they knew anything about this Champions League trophy being the seven top teams in this World Cup, plus the host nation, which is Pakistan,
right.
If they knew anything about this,
did they vote for it?
Embarrassing, you know.
They must have voted for it. Must have been a vote.
They would, because if you remember, the last Champions Trophy, West Indies didn't qualify neither.
Right.
The one that Pakistan won. We didn't go to that one neither.
Mm.
I think Fino's got a good point there. Did this get discussed? Was this voted for?
Right.
Yeah, was it voted for at the ICC? Did West Indies representative vote for this qualification? It must have been discussed at the ICC, yet it's only come out in the last week that the qualification for the Champions Trophy is based on the Cup A.
Nehemiah Perry, have you been watching the local cricket in the Super 50? Have you watched any at all? Yeah. Jamaica struggling.
Yes, I've been watching. And, you know, someone said something earlier. Can I remember? I think what Basil Jr. about what you get at that level coming from the territorial board. It is not the responsibility of the West Indies Cricket Board, all right, when persons get to that level to improve people. We need to have a base, so you need to be producing people from a territory. It is a territory responsibility to develop their players and give West Indies Cricket Board quality players. And that when you get there, you are showing persons some basic flaws, basic things, right? We need to strengthen our regional cricket. Because if you don't strengthen our regional cricket, we're going to get the mediocre, average players going at international level. And then when you get found out, then you're going to be at sea.
How many games did they play this season?
Say that again, David.
How many matches did the each territory play in the first class tournament this season? How many matches?
Five.
But it's that's not enough.
That's correct.
We agree.
That's correct.
There have to be a way of getting back to the 10 matches. I know economic factors here, the cost of internal air travel, I know, has risen dramatically in the Caribbean, putting pressure on all the territories, having to play all the matches in one location so you don't get home support anymore. And I think that's a great shame. Again, another reason why it's an unequal playing field. And I would say to all West Indies cricket fans, don't give up. You know, you've got so much talent and the odds are stacked against you economically. And there needs to be some solution at the ICC level or maybe one, you know, richer partner like England could potentially, help by developing or sending their team over to play in the 4-day tournament. Or indeed, an idea from Sam Badgley, which I thought was an excellent idea, get a West Indies A team into the county championship, you know, in England. Something like that needs to happen to give these guys more cricket. Because even the likes of Craig Brathwaite can't do it without practice. He needs match practice. And it's great to have local academies if you've got them. But if you haven't, then there's no substitute for competitive cricket. And you can't blame the players for the lack of that. You have to blame the administrators and also what's happening with the big three not sharing the resources at the top level.
Cuddy, have you been watching the regional Super 50?
I've watched it in patches because sometimes I'm on the road, yeah, but I've watched a bit. I follow the scores. And I would like to say that it's good to see some of the youngsters performing. And I think we need to look at performance whenever you're selecting teams and stuff like that. But the consistency of the batting is still a concern of mine. We seem to lack a lot of consistency in the batting in most of the teams, if not all of them. The quality of the pitches, you might question some of the grounds. But all in all, it goes back to a point Phil made. If you are accustomed to building an innings, you try to survive on any surface. And that's when you dig in and wait and get yourself in and then express yourself. Similar to what Sharma did in the World Cup. He played in a wicket that was doing something. But what he did, he rode the storm out, backed himself to get in, and then start playing some shots. I think we need to see a little bit more of that here in the region. It's good to see Myers getting 100. It's good to see Macassar getting 100 and Dorwich getting 100. That's what you want to see. You want to see people scoring big runs, scoring hundreds, because that is what you'll be remembered for. And it goes back to when West Indies was dominant. We had someone like Carl Ibis couldn't get into the team, and he was leading runs for Brian Lara, played the entire season for Trinidad, break the records and couldn't get into the West Indies team. And that's what I would like to see. We get back to where people are fighting to get into the team. And the averages of 25 and 30 no longer exist. You've got to have a decent average to get into the team. And then that will help us to perform. The appetite for scoring big runs will come back.
44-17-90. The lines are open. You can certainly give us a call. We're talking regional cricket. And, of course, we're talking the ICC trophy as well. I mean, in terms of what we've seen so far, 50 over. It's been very interesting with India dominating their home, South Africa. They're doing pretty well. New Zealand, Pakistan, where they had an important victory. And, of course, Australia. I mean, the Australian side is a big side. And you better watch them because they're up in there as well. 44-17-90, give us a call and participate. We can take a call? We can. Let's take our first call. It's now coming up to 3 minutes past the hour of 7 on Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you, sir.
Why am I just holding up in a cricket?
Well, he's resting. He's resting.
Resting for what?
Well.
But he got rest for the big testing, I picked him. But at the practice in cricket, because as far as I'm concerned, he has a hold up for his 20 glue, the captaincy, the cricket bed, downhill. And I don't believe he should be both his walk up and come and walk up and like this, and everybody practicing.
So,
I believe he should pick 11 men that are in form.
All right. So,
he's out of form.
Oh.
He's been playing cricket and trying to get cricket. Just a whole in the guy's orbit.
Well, let's ask Phil Wallace. Phil, are you surprised that Jason Hole is not playing in the Super 50?
Yes, Andrew, I'm surprised because I think that Jason Holden needs to play cricket.
I think that sometimes these guys ask for breaks, and what do they do in the break? You see, Jason is Jason to me is a rhythm cricketer,
right?
And when he comes out of cricket and doesn't practice, doesn't have that intense practice, when he gets back into cricket, he then has to fill a big void, which he's unable to do because the volume of cricket and the pace of it is being played. So I honestly believe that he could have played in this 50-over competition and he could have been managed properly.
So
I think, because he needs to play cricket. Because that test series in Australia, we're going to Australia, funny time, we're not playing any red ball cricket, Andrew.
No.
But we're going to Australia in January.
Yes.
So we're not playing red ball cricket. Mm. So we're going to have to pick a test team from some of these fellas who are playing the 50-over competition.
Turan isn't playing Umuda in the 50-over.
No. So, it's a quandary. Why we allow players to miss certain tournaments when we have serious tours coming up. Mm. So, I'm very surprised he's not playing. He asked for rest. I'm just hoping that if he is selected to go to Australia, we will see a different JSL holder.
Mm.
Because if you look at Shami, because I like Shami. Shami didn't play the first four or five games in a row. You know, Shami get the first four games. You know, Shami get two games and perform.
Mm-hmm.
Another fellow will look rusty. You know, Shami, like he was practicing day and night, just waiting for the opportunity. I know nobody's talking about Cardiff Pandya anymore. Because Shami is coming and he's blocked himself in there.
Yes, yes.
So that's like some of our players do. If Jason comes back into our testing, I would like to see Jason hit the straps on ball one and look a different player. Because I don't see he's tired. He's supposed to be rested.
Mm. All right, let's
see. I would do what it works for him.
On that same resting, you remember KL Rahul was out with an injury. And as soon as he came back into the team, he started scoring because obviously what he was doing to get back in the team. Just a correction, David. West Indies beat England last year in a test series.
Mm.
They didn't go back to 2019. We beat them last year.
Yes. And this
was one year since then.
And this would have been after Playbus, huh?
Exactly. We always give people a run for their money when they come to, regardless who is in office. We always give them a run for their money.
And you just asked. And you're right. Stir things up, you know that. But you're right. It was that 1-0, very, very skillful 1-0 victory.
Right.
Some excellent. That seemed to be a very well planned. With Brathwaite in particular having a tremendous series and that long innings played there. He's capable of playing these long innings. I mean, he came over to play some county championship cricket just the last three rounds. But he was out of practice. You know, was asking a lot of him in September conditions to come and perform. You know, and he needs that regular cricket. And I hope that more berths in county cricket, more West Indies players put their hands up to play some county cricket.
Okay, let's take a call. 441790. Yeah, we can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. Give us a call.
Good night, Mr.
Good night to you.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm fine. Knowing that you do things sometimes before everybody else, I want to ask you two questions, even if I hang up and listen up. First one, when a tour is approaching, or let's say the World Cup in June, how do the countries go direct to the ICC? Or do the
investors
do that for them?
No, well, in fact, the situation in relation to Barbados, I'll tell you this. The Barbados government is in charge. Of course, the Cricket West Indies will, of course, meet with the ICC, but it is a question of the government bidding. It is the Barbados government who actually did the bid, you know, not the BCA. You're aware of that?
Yes, so I am asking you a simple question.
Right.
Do countries go directly to the ICC or do they do it through the Western Cricket Board of Control?
They do it through... That's an interesting question. They would bid, of course, and it will go through Cricket West Indies. But the government and not the local association would do the bidding.
So, in other words, then, are you saying that from now, all the countries will be rushing to ICC to bid to get their first thing? It won't be going through the normal procedure, which is through the Veterans Cricket Board of Control?
Well, this is the problem, you know, because this is why when Conde came on the show and made the comment that Barbados actually had the finals, and it would appear as if they had the finals, it was said to be a breach of protocol, because it really should have been an announcement coming from Cricket West Indies.
But I think, I want to ask one more question. I think that Wiley can keep a secret.
If Wiley
didn't tell Mason, it would have worked out. But it looks like, why I ask that question, I don't like where that cricket is going. I don't like it, period.
Right.
Let's have one there and let me move on. Now, do you know if Barbados have paid off that 180 million plus interest for the last worker?
No, I'm not aware.
You could check for us.
I can check. Yes. But what I do know is that Kensington will be given millions to spruce it up for hosting the finals next year.
This is the question I'm asking you.
Yes.
From 2007.
Right.
That is why you see I like the local calls, because I hear Mikey Bailey.
What have you heard, though? Have you, you've heard that they've not paid it?
I got my information, but I ain't saying nothing.
So you don't want to share it with the Mason and Guest family?
You just get things, so I want you to get this wrong.
Okay.
I am saying this. From 2007.
Right.
Kensington, Kensington cricket. Not even local cricket. Even the event that could bring a dollar move from Kensington, we got one now on the level. I want to know how anybody will lend anybody money when they see how they can pay it back. How can Kensington pay back their loan? Can you help me?
No, but it's going to be very difficult. But of course, you want to look good for the World Cup, so you're going to move heaven and earth.
Listen. You don't see that you will look good with a Merseybank part of your house.
That what?
You will look good with a Merseybank part of your house.
Well, maybe.
But can you afford it?
No.
Okay. You have a good night.
But somebody may give it to me, you know. I may have to buy it. Or borrow money, you see. Somebody may give it to me.
But I would like people to understand, you don't do things by guess.
Right.
The Barbados, right now if you study it, the tourists to the Caribbean, even will be good team England. How much told you about England next 5 years?
Oh.
How much?
Well, in fact, David just told you that in the next 5 year cycle, the West Indies will even be playing England in Test cricket. And that's sad. Because we always look forward to the England-West Indies battle.
But we ain't got cricket at Kensington, but we spent $50 million on it. Can you understand that?
Yeah, but what's wrong with that?
You could keep it up to standard, but to spend $50 million...
But how do you know what is required at Kensington? Kensington Oval is not looking as good. It needs a coat of paint.
Kensington is not that old.
Yeah, but don't mind that. What about maintenance? Have you been to Kensington recently? Kensington needs a spruce up, sir. It does. All right, thanks for your contribution. Can we take another call? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guests. 441790, give us a call and participate in the show. 441790. Just going back now to Nehemiah Perry. Nehemiah, in relation to, we've heard about England doing so poorly. Do you think India will win the World Cup, Nehemiah?
India is a very strong contender. But my team to win the World Cup, they started out a little weak, and they have come on very, very well. It's Australia. Australia is a very, very dangerous team. And I tip Australia to win the World Cup this time around. India, yes, going to be strong. South Africa looking good. New Zealand. All these teams are contenders are winning the World Cup. I think it will come from that four. But certainly I'm picking Australia to win the World Cup.
Ambassador Walsh, what your team for the World Cup in terms of winning?
Well, they can't write off Indian India. They're home, so they'll be the first choice with the amount of cricket they have been playing and the quality of the players that they have. When you look like someone like Ashton on the bench, you still think they have a ace up their sleeve. Australia can never write them off. They've got a very, very good team as well, and they could be the danger ones now because they had a poor run at the beginning and they're now finding some form. We hope that India hasn't found all the form already. New Zealand was another team I'm watching, and the other team I was impressed with is South Africa. So if those four teams make it to the semi-final, I wouldn't be surprised. Afghanistan is giving them a run for the money to try to get to there, but those were the four teams I was looking at.
When we come back, we'll certainly hear from Basil Butcher Jr., his team for the World Cup. I think he just sent me a note, says that England will win, but of course we'll throw that through the window. And we'll also hear from David Brooke, who is telling me that Bangladesh will win. Of course not. Missing the guest, brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, it's 7:16 in the country. The lines are open, 4341790. Who do you think will win the World Cup? Some teams are doing well. India, South Africa, New Zealand, of course, Australia in there. And good victory by Pakistan today. Your team, Basil Butcher Jr.?
From a sentimental perspective, after the West Indies, my favorite team is South Africa.
Okay.
So I would like South Africa to win. But as the other gentleman on the panel stated, Australia is looking dangerous. India is playing tremendous. I got a funny feeling India is going to fall in the knockout round.
Oh, dear.
You know, because South Africa had their bad game out of the system. Australia had their bad games out. India's yet to have that bad game. And I have a feeling, unfortunately, they will have that bad game in the semifinals.
David Brooke.
I would take India to get to the final, and I'm kind of agreeing with Nehemiah. I think the team they would least like to play in the final is Australia. Because they're on an upward trajectory, and this is a group of players who may not play a game together. David Warner having a tremendous tournament. The captaincy is impressive. The group of players, Adam Zampa, one of the leading wicket takers. You really fancy the togetherness, the sense of team. The team I would most like to win, I agree with Basil Butcher Jr., is South Africa. I would love to see Bavuma lifting the trophy. What an achievement that would be for South Africa cricket post-apartheid, to see this multiracial team together and winning this tournament. I think that would be a wonderful moment. I think, though, that my money would be on Australia. They just look dangerous, and the team that India would least like to play in the final, I would say, would be Australia.
Okay, let's take a call, can we? 4341790. Give us some time, and we will certainly take your calls as well. So, the dark horse, some people are saying Australia, some people are saying, look, they think that Australia will certainly win this. In fact, someone is saying, I'm back in New Zealand to win the World Cup. Cuddy, how strong is New Zealand in your view?
They have a very strong team. I mean, they've had ups and down games, but they're a very dangerous team, and they've got some very talented players. So you can never write them off. I mean, as I said, my four team to get to the semis was New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, and India. And I say that because of the strength and quality and all depth in all those teams. India, because they're home, you would expect them to start favourites and stuff. As Young Baz just said, they haven't had a bad game as yet, which is a concern. Most of the teams have lost a game or have had a bad game. India have not won as yet. Maybe the bad game was against India. England made them 229, and we thought England was going to walk over it, but they lost by 100 runs. We never can tell. But they have not bad games yet. But New Zealand has depth in batting, bowling, and they have a very smart team in the field as well.
Mm.
So you can never write off New Zealand.
Well,
I mean, Andrew, the other team that's improving dramatically, I think, is Pakistan. Their victory today was very impressive. And I point to the removal of Inzamam Al-Haq. He's no longer the head of the selectors. And immediately we saw Fakhar taking over as opening batsman and hitting 80 today, in just what Pakistan needed. And Iftikhar replacing Shadab Khan. That team is on the way up. I would love Pakistan to creep into the semi-finals and keep all the games live. There's still 12 or 13 matches still to go in this group stage. And it would be wonderful if either Pakistan or Afghanistan could break into that, those four teams. So I'm putting my Pakistan hat on, Andrew, because they are definitely on the up. And but it may mean that they're just coming a bit too late for it to be important in this contest. But I think the chairman of selectors, Inzamam, has picked the wrong team, and now he's been removed. I think you'll find that things will improve. Maybe the same should happen in the West Indies.
Can you explain that? Same should happen.
Let me ask you this. I was listening today when Pakistan was playing, and Shane Watson and Ravi Shastri was on commentary at Wakar Units. Both of them stated about Fakhar, when they pulled up Fakhar's record, 10 hundredths, 15 sixes, 45 average, and a match winner. Both men said there is no way they would have dropped Fakhar. Whereas Wakar intimated, because of his poor showing in the last 10 matches he's played, is why he dropped. So you see a different perspective, where Shastri is saying, this guy's a match winner, we'll continue to give him a run. Shane Watson even went on to say, playing with Dhoni, with one captain, would have never dropped Wakar. So I think it's more a situation in the Pakistan management.
But I take your point. But I think Pakistan, a lot of talent there. And they've had difficult time not being able to play, you know, home matches. So close against South Africa. And South Africa, they went very, very, very close. But to see them winning in such style today was, I think, really, really good news. They showing real signs of improvement. But I think, you know, if you go back to the two teams that have perhaps impressed more than anyone expected, it would be South Africa and Afghanistan, the two teams who've done better than expected. You could argue that New Zealand are just perhaps on the downhill, having peaked round about the last World Cup, which they probably should have won if it hadn't been for those overthrows and everything else that went on, and that foolishness of the super over and everything. I think this has been a really good World Cup, because the conditions have put the emphasis on quality batting and quality bowling. And that has to be good for world cricket, which is otherwise drowning in this orgy of 20-over short-form cricket, which is one part of the game, but it's not all parts of the game, is it? And all cricket fans will want to see the longer form. Show me a cricketer who only wants to bowl the 4-over spell. Courtney, can you imagine if you'd played and you were restricted to bowling 4-over spells? I mean, how can these guys who would play only T20, how can they be satisfied with that? Good day at the office? Yes, I bowled 4-overs. I mean, really, is it...
it comes back to something Phil said earlier. You got to know yourself as a player one. And when we were debating with Jason over the thing, the point Phil was making, I wanted to sort of go back on that. As a player, you need to know your rhythm and your style and your match fitness. To me, match fitness is the key. And sometimes too much rest, if you're not match fit. So you've got to know how much rest you need and how to get yourself going. And I always believe in that match fitness is where you use to guide yourself. And you can work on your other fitness by the side, because you want to be match ready for every game.
And yeah, there is this.
You must know when you're match ready for every game.
Cuddy, how do you feel about these players that choose to play only 20-over cricket and short-form cricket? Mm. How can they develop their skills if they're only playing domestic 20-over cricket? Take Sam Curran, you know, great in a domestic competition, but in international level, he's been found wanting. Topley, you know, others I could mention. These guys are only choosing to play the short form, and even only T20. How can they develop their game? Could you have developed your game on the back of 4-over spells?
Nah, you need to play some to get yourself involved and develop your game over a period of time. And that's why I said match fitness is the key. And you need to be able to take your challenges and see how best you can come out of them.
Mm.
Okay, 4417 90, give us a call and participate. Earlier, Basil, you were talking about the poor standard in terms of the Super 50, and David Brooks said that you were unkind. In terms of the bonus points, you like the bonus point system, Basil?
The bonus points, someone explained it to me, and when I got the explanation as to the whole motivation behind it, I was more on board, because the bonus points are the what they call the KPIs of the best teams that are playing one-day cricket, right? So the players, now I'm seeing the bonus point thing as a way in which we can assess our players and teams as to where they are relative to what the best standard of performance in one-day cricket.
Mm.
So now they will now be able to go back to the drawing board and have clear goals in mind, both as an individual and as a team, right? Because I spoke to someone earlier today. I was telling me, I asked him, when did you guys find out about the points? And he said, we only got the information a few weeks. I mean, I don't know how many weeks he said, but it was a several weeks before the tournament. So their preparation in terms of using the bonus points to prepare for was very limited. So I see it more as an assessment tool for our players.
Mm, I see. Now,
Andrew, can I just ask all the panel, how are you watching this Super 50 tournament? I've been on the West Indies website.
On YouTube? I live here in the US, so it's either on YouTube or ESPN Plus. They will televise one game on ESPN Plus, and then the other games are on YouTube.
Right, thank you.
Yeah. Mm.
So then, David, you should be able to get it from tomorrow then, David?
Yes. And if he wants, he could go back and watch them.
Yes.
Because if it's on YouTube, you could go back and rewatch the game.
Mm. So you still think, Basil, that the standard is weak?
No, I mean, Andrew, last week I listened when Vasi was on your show.
Yes.
And he made some comments about the field, the University of West Indies.
Mm.
So I watched the game, the Guyana game, that was played yesterday, I think it was. And I saw what he was talking about, because I hadn't paid close attention to it. The ball doesn't travel, the grass is a lot higher than the other cricket fields, so you don't get value for your shot. And yesterday, against Barbados, I seen some balls turn and bump.
Yes.
On that pitch. I mean, how can our spinners develop in where they don't have to really bowl? And how could batters, chase bowl a ball that bumps and turn that almost hit they open his head?
Yes.
What kind of feel? I mean, I would like, you know, as a friend of mine was talking, they said, you know what, CWI needs to start to institute some kind of sanction to when a country is going to host a regional competition and you have fields in this kind of condition, you need to sanction them, because this is the level before international cricket.
Mm. I mean, Basil, I think one way of improving this problem of curation, you know, the danger is when you're isolated and excluded from the World Cup, the temptation is to turn inward. And I would urge West Indies to look for, to build partnerships, alliances. Let's get some curators over from England to help get the pitches where they should be. There's plenty of guys who would love to spend a couple of months in the Caribbean. I'm sure you've met a lot of them. Most people would prefer that than a dull, drizzly day in November in Oxfordshire or Sussex.
I mean, this has been, Philo could talk about it, Courtney could talk about it, Nehemiah could talk about it. This has been a complaint, like a broken record for many years about the quality of our pitches. And it seems like we can never find a way to fix this problem.
Have you ever invited anyone over to assist with this? You know, an exchange. Let's get some West Indies curators over to England. Let's get some bilateral link-ups. If we can't, if the ICC is being run by India, let's face it, I'm going to say it. BCCI are running the world game at the moment, and they are firmly fixed on India and India's performances and India's welfare. They don't look beyond. What about some bilateral link-ups? Can we not get West Indies tied up?
We have a head curator in Grafton from St. Lucia. Very little cricket is played in St. Lucia. He's had that title now for almost 10 years or more. There's a Super 50 in Trinidad. I would believe that he is there. I don't know how much supervision he is doing. I don't know how much input he has, because the three venues, UWI Ground, Barilla Academy, and Queen's Park Open. I can't see one man going to three grounds to supervise the preparation of those pitches. But does he have an assistant? Is anybody helping him? What is the position? Because as I told Vasquez last week, the pitches in Trinidad and Tobago are going to get tired and they're going to turn. It is very hot in Trinidad. Despite the getting rain, it is still very hot. And as it gets deeper into the competition, the pitches are going to turn. So getting looking for bonus points, you're going to be putting your, if you're batting and looking for bonus points, you'll be putting your side at a disadvantage because you can be losing wickets.
Yes.
And still have bonus points. You've got to be a bonus point. And if you want to win a game, I think my aim is to win this game and let the bonus points fall into place. I think if you go ahead to the bonus points or services that are not conducive to really stroke play, you're going to find someone who bat it first, you're going to find yourself in trouble. But we have that head curator. I don't know how he's working in Trinidad. You'll have to get that from Cricket West Indies. If he's there, and if the other persons who has the same charges as Crafton to go to the other venues and supervise, because the pitches are getting tired and they're going to become bowler friendly.
I mean, one thinks back, Basil mentioned the three-match series, test series, that West Indies ended up winning 1-0. Do you remember that third pitch at Grenada that had pace, bounce, and suddenly West Indies surprised England because they were expecting another flat, spinning track. They got the pace men did the job there. They hijacked England. They took England by surprise. That curator down in Grenada, get him in. He knows what he's doing. And maybe some, you know, that find the examples of best practice and get those guys into the centre, because he was doing something right. When West Indies had a nice, fast, bouncy track to bowl on, England had no answers to that. And I suspect that the pitches I agree with Basil, are a major issue and never seems to change. And that seems to be a failure at the administrative level.
Okay, 7:33 in the country, 44-1780. We're going to pause for our business, because when we come back, we're going to I'll go to Nehemiah Perry about cricket in Jamaica. I'm hearing that very little cricket is being played. They're the Super 50, they're the defending champions. They're doing so poorly, and we certainly want to hear from him. But Mason and Guest, brought in association with the very good friends at ASFE, where it runs the best shot of the day.
ASFE, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 7:34 in the country, 44-1790. Nehemiah, are they playing any cricket in Jamaica?
No, not at this time. We are on a break. We are trying to get local cricket going. The JCA is organizing the Senior Cup coming up. The 50 over just finished about, I think it finished about 2 weeks now, thereabout, where Melbourne won that title. So we are just reorganizing now to get our another competition going.
I see.
Still struggling with participation from schools, and that is a worrying part of our process, where if we are not getting more schools playing cricket, we are in serious trouble here in Jamaica. So we have a lot of work to do, and because that's the feeding ground.
And when are the local elections due?
The local election normally is about March, April of next year, somewhere okay. There. We have a local election.
Are you running?
I don't know. Still, coupling with it. I'm not sure yet. I have a lot of work at office here and responsibility. And when you're running for president and so on at the JCA, it's a full-time job. I can tell you, it's a lot of work to get our cricket back on track, because when you are the leader, everybody looking at the president, and the president is the leader. So I'm not afraid to get a good team, try to get a good team and a good support staff around you to get Jamaica cricket up and running. And also we have not had any international cricket for some time now. No World Cup for next year. There's a further lack of interest around Jamaica. So it's just basically just some curry goat cricket playing, and people go there and so on. So it is very, very concerning where that is concerned as it relates to international cricket. Can you imagine a World Cup coming to the Caribbean and Sabata Park, no game? So that is very disappointing for me.
That is
I would think, just before you come in, David, let's go to Cuddy Walsh, Ambassador Walsh. As a Jamaican, you must be a bit disappointed that there's going to be no cricket next year in the World Cup T20.
Yeah, very disappointed. I mean, obviously, we haven't had any major cricket in Jamaica for quite some time. No CPL, no test matches, no international for quite some time. And, I mean, we used to have quality cricket, good turnout, and a good cricket wicket as well, so you get competitive cricket. And all this lacking. So very, very disappointed, and I hope that can be addressed very soon, sooner rather than later. It's very disappointing because, I mean, we've got two stadiums here now, and none has been used. For international cricket. Last time I went to Sabina Park, I went to a football match.
Oh, really?
It was packed. Oh, it was jumper.
Really?
Mount Pleasant playing Cavaliers, and you couldn't get place to see. So, I mean, people will come out and support what needs to be supported.
Have you spoken to Billy Haven, Ambassador Walsh?
I have tried. When I was in Jamaica, I reached out to him. I haven't heard from him, and I've messaged. I've tried. Not spoken to him in a while now.
Andrew, that's extraordinary.
Just hold on a minute, David. I'm going to come to you shortly. Have you spoken to the minister? You're pretty close to the government, I'm told.
I haven't spoken to her since there's no cricket, but I spoke to her when I was in Jamaica. I've always gone to say hello and stuff. She was very busy my last trip there, so I didn't get a chance to sit down and speak with her. But we spoke briefly on the phone, hoping to have a meeting, but it just the time didn't thing, but I've not spoken to her since the World Cup debacle and the lack of cricket that's been played here. But I remember introducing her to someone from the Talawa about 2-3 years ago.
Right.
That was probably the last time we played here. That was for CPL. Nothing has happened since.
So it's Babsy Grange. You haven't spoken to her about that at all. You need to speak to her soon, Cuddy. I understand you've got a private number. So you must give her a call. Jamaica must have cricket, man.
Perry's a man who's on the ground. He's there in the office. He rolls his sleeve up and he's got all the contacts. He's got more contacts than contacts.
Okay. Yeah, David, you wanted to make a point about Jamaica.
Well, I'm looking at this screen and I'm seeing the solution for Jamaica cricket is right here in front of us. The Nehemiah Perry, Courtney Walsh dream ticket. Those two people
really
could sort out cricket in Jamaica for sure. And can I mention one bit of green shoots in Jamaica? Jason Hensel down at Treasure Beach, down in the lovely St. Elizabeth. What he's doing down there in developing the Treasure Beach Cricket Academy. They had a game a few months ago, the Chris Gayle 11 versus the Brian Lara 11. It was packed out.
Yes.
It was a wonderful setting. That is the type of setting on the coast in St. Elizabeth that would attract tourists. It would put Jamaica back on the tourist map, because Jamaica not getting any cricket because of, you know, the feeling that English tourists won't come to Jamaica because it's Kingston, and Kingston has that reputation. Unfair. I lived in Kingston for a year and a half, and I found it a charming, lovely place to be. But not everyone shares that view. Trelawney was designed to cope with that. Cows grazing on the outfield, I hear there now. I think Treasure Beach is an interesting one. Courtney, have you been down to Treasure Beach to see the wonderful work going on down
there? Yes, Jason's got the field sorted out down there, and he's got it looking sharp to play football there as well. And he's really trying to get things done down Treasure Beach. It's something to look at. As I said, Chris Gayle and the others went down for a game, and I understand it went pretty well. So,
and would you consider...
Would
you consider running for office, Jamaica Cricket Board, Courtney, with Nehemiah?
That's a good political question, but I would decline at this point in time.
But would you consider then in the future, Mr. Walsh?
The country needs you.
It would have to have a lot of takings with it, Andrew. So now, a lot of people have to come together, and it would have to make it work, and possibly have it work my way. So now, not at this point in time.
No, talk to us about the pitches in the Caribbean. You would have played, you know, in the days when the pitches were good at Sabina Park and Kensington Oval, you know, in Grenada, you know, it was okay in St. Lucia. You had to bend your back at Border. Of course, it's no Providence. Talk to me, Cuddy, about the declining standards of the pitches in the Caribbean.
The decline is very, very bad. But as you mentioned, some grounds, those grounds, everybody knew what we were doing.
Right.
And I don't want to make it look like you want all fast and bouncy tracks everywhere you go to play. So you used to get to the understanding, when you get to Barbados, you know what to expect. You adjust your line and your length to that. Sabina Park, when you go to Border, when it's a bit flatter, you have to make the adjustment. And that's what so you don't want to have everything live and fast, so just move to fast bowlers. You don't want to have good cricket. One of the best cricket matches that I played was in Antigua in, I think, 1987, when at the recreation ground, it was one of the best cricket kit. And then everything went down in half of the big game, flat, which was good enough. But you want to have pitches that you can play on where it's a contest. And you don't want it to be just a bowling contest all the way, so it's fast and bouncy, because then it's not going to be enough. You want to have cricket where bowlers have to bend their back from time to time. If it's cricket, the batsman knows you're going to get himself in. But you want a contest where on the first 2 days, if you're well-equipped enough, you can get what's in the wicket. And in the last 2 days, you've got to improve on your skills. And that's what you want to see throughout the Caribbean. You don't want it to be too slow or too dead. You want to have good cricket wicket. Consistency.
What was your approach? Just a minute. What was your approach when you played at Border?
It's going to be hard work. So your mindset has to be there. You got to be mentally prepared for that. It's not going to swing around and have as much bounce as other places. So you've got to rely on what is your stock wall or what your wicket taking deals are. And you try to work on that. So you try to be consistent in trying to bowl. At Border, if I can bowl my 20 overs to 60 runs, it's a good day for me because it's that type of wicket. Oh. If at Barbados I can bowl my 20 overs for 70 runs and get 5 wickets, it's another good day. So you try to work those things out. So you make the adjustments as the tracks you play on. Mentally, you've got to be ready as well.
Yeah, the question I would have for Philo, Courtney, and Nehemiah, because you guys would have played in an era, as you were talking about, the adjustments you had to make. Do you think because of the deterioration of our pitch, they're all just flat or whatever, that's a skill that our players coming through do not have, that ability to make adjustments in their game based on the conditions, and so therefore they have to develop their skill. They're not able to develop their skills accordingly. For doing that, do you think that's something that is one of the issues that are affecting the development of our players in this current era?
It can be. I'll jump in there before Philo and Nehemiah. It can be. But the other thing as well is that in our time, the players, I'm just using our era. We used to practice on a concrete wicket with fast bowlers. Then you have the clay. Then you have the matting. So we were exposed to everything. And then you would see a batsman come out with a golf ball to bat that as well. So it's preparation. I don't know if a lot of that is happening now. So we were playing on different surfaces and you make different adjustments. What we have now, as you say, is just one stagnant type of wickets where nothing is happening. I don't know if the players themselves will try to raise their own personal standards, so to speak.
Trying to answer that. If you look at the surfaces to me are completely different to when I used to play. And I agree with Cordy. When you play at Bridgetown, you know you can get some assistance. The ball is going to carry. If you're looking at 4-day cricket, the ball is going to carry for the first 2-3 days. And then you know the fourth day, a few balls might stay down, so you adjust. When you go to Guyana, you know you can't look to pull and pat the ball. You look to obviously hit the ball straight and play in the V, as they say. So you adjust. When you go to Antigua at the Recreation Ground, we had a very good game against the Leeward Islands there. I got my first-class 100. In that game at the Recreation Ground, I thought it was a very good pitch. It was grassy, and the ball was coming off quite nicely. The ball was bouncing, and you could hit through the line of the ball. When you go up to Sabina Park, you can't go on the front foot because balls can make you bite a red ball. So you got to hide back a bit, and I look to weather the storm, and then you get in, and you can play your shots. Trinidad and Tobago, a little slow, but it's been grassy at Queen's Park, so the ball will swing early doors. You look to win the toss and bat first. Sitting up on the first hour, I look to battle the game to score 210 for 4. It's a good day. That's how we plan our cricket. So you could adjust. I think our modern day players, because all the pitches are same, they get frustrated. And they say, but why should I bat on the same pitch in Barbados? I'm going to get the same pitch in Guyana. They don't know when to express themselves. That's why when we go to England and go to Australia, we get good pitches. We don't know how to bat because the adjustment is not there. Mentally, they're frustrated because of the slow nature of the services across the region. In my day, nobody opened the bowling with a slow bowler. I tried it once in St. Vincent against the Wimbrons, against the Wimbrons. Listen, darling, told me to get the ball in the sea. In the sea, we had to go for another new ball. So you started to say, this is a good move.
I remember that, Phil. I remember that.
He hit the ball in the sea. The first ball, he hit in the sea. Yes. He had to go get a new ball. So you try it, but the services now, because they're so same, I believe the cricketers, and I'm across the board now with all the cricketers, bowlers, batters, spinners, keepers, they're all frustrated. Even the keepers will get frustrated because the keepers can't show the glove work and move around their hands and stuff like that. They're stuck in the old boring way all the time. So the excitement from the game has gone because the services has deteriorated.
I see. Nehemiah, you like bowling at, you certainly like bowling at Sabina.
The thing is, Andrew, even good pitches in the 80s, in the 90s, you know, myself, Robert Haynes, you know, Marlon Tucker.
Yes.
Even though it had pace, we came into our own, even on the third day, you know, Courtney and them would rough up people on the first day and 2 days and so on.
Nehemiah, we lost you for a little bit there, I think.
But it continued to be a good pitch, even though the ball is not really ripping, but we used a lot of.
Yeah, he's having a little bit of a problem there with his connection. The trigger
movement is always planting the front foot forward.
Right.
And then they play from there. When you go New Zealand and you go to Australia and places like South Africa, when the ball is bouncing, you're gonna be at sea. Definitely gonna be at sea. In my time, we should practice on concrete pitches, right? Ball sliding and bouncing and so on. So you have to be playing on the back foot, cutting and pulling and hooking. We are not seeing that anymore. We are seeing just forward, prad, until you get frustrated and then you swipe. And that is why, if you look at the dominant bowlers, are always spinners in the last 15 years. The Nikita Millers, the Ryan Austin, the Bersami Pramal.
Right.
All of these players are the spinners because after maybe 4 overs, it's spin all day. Odin Brown, all of them just dominate regional cricket in the last 15 years or so. So we have to pay attention. We have to get pitches to a stage where it is good for everybody, but the spinners coming at one, fourth day, three day, good for batting and for fast bowling, and we have a good contest. We're not having that. We have a boring game where spinners just bowl the whole entire day and you bowl this fast, you get 2 hours and 4 overs for the day. So we are not developing fast bowling, and at the same time, our batting just one dimension where we play forward all day. So we need to take a holistic approach as to where we go with pitches and ground staff and how we prepare these pitches.
All right, we got another 10 minutes left on the show. Let's take our final commercial break when we come back. We're going to go to Basil. These bonus points, I don't know, Basil, you've been able to work out who's in front in terms of the main teams. Give us some idea. I know that you are a statistician, and you may be able to tell us who's actually in front. Can you do that? But let's do that after the commercial break. Let's do the commercial break and come back. All right, final commercial break. Mason and guests, brought in association with our very good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best show of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell every bartender, ASAP is the best show of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Just to apologize to our callers, we're having one or two challenges. I know that you're trying to get through to be on the program, but it looks as if it's not going to be possible. So let's hope that we can correct that next week. You know, it's a bit of a problem, but I imagine that by next week it will be solved. Basil, who's in front?
Trinidad, they got 37. The combined Capitals 26. Leeward Islands 25. Barbados 24. The Academy and Guyana both got 23. Windward got 16. And Jamaica pulling up the rear at 5. What's interesting about this is Guyana has 3 wins. They're behind both Barbados, Leeward, and combined. We all got, and that's due to the bonus points, right? Trinidad rightfully is in front because they're unbeaten, they're 4-0. And they obviously have gotten a lot of these bonus points because they're 37.
So let's look at those points again. This is after the games played today.
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad, and how many points do you say?
37
from how many games?
5 games.
From 5 games. Uh-huh, Trinidad.
Combined campuses, 26.
26.
From 5 games.
From 26 from 5 games, yes?
Right. Leeward Islands, 25 from 4 games.
25 from 4 games, yes?
Barbados, 24 from 4 games.
So Barbados, 24 from 4 games. All right.
The Academy, 23 from 5 games.
23 from 5 games, yeah.
And Guyana, 23 from 5 games.
So hold on. So that, okay, 23 from 5 games.
Right. Windward Islands, 16 from 5 games.
The Windward Islands are what?
16
from 5 games, uh-huh.
5 points from 5 games. Jamaica has lost all the games.
Jamaica 5 points from 5 games. So
yeah, they lost all the games.
So Trinidad out front. And the bonus points are making a big difference here. Could you have a situation where, you know, a team could win the most matches but not win the tournament based on the bonus points?
Yeah. So Guyana has 3 wins.
Yes.
And they're in 6th place.
How many bonus points have they gotten?
They obviously haven't gotten much because
exactly.
Combined win 2 games, Leewards win 2 games, Barbados win 2 games,
right?
The Academy win 2 games, and Guyana is behind all of them with 3 wins.
Oh, so is there a downside to the bonus points then, Basil?
I wouldn't say so, you know, because as I said earlier, bonus points, as I see it, particularly this time around, is a good assessment tool to see what our guys' skills are in all the various phases of the game. That the best teams, what they call the KPI points, that was told to me. You know, in all the different, the power play, the middle overs, and the final power play, how we rank in terms of the best teams, how they play in the world. So at least now we got some objective figures as to what your skill, what the player's skill sets are relative to being able to achieve these goals, both from an individual and a collective perspective. So guys now, hopefully, will go back to their territories and they will start to work on those skills so that next time around, we see better performances in terms of them hitting those marks or getting close to those marks and what you see of the better teams playing around the world.
Hello, is there a downside to the bonus point system? We heard from Basil just now. Is there a downside?
Andrew, I clearly don't believe in the bonus point system.
You don't?
I don't think that all players are skillful enough for them to be dealing with this bonus point system. Look at Gano, who played 5 games on 1-3 and sitting in the 6th position. So, fairly, if Gano was in the World Cup, they will have 6 points and they'll be near the top.
Right.
But the World Cup is either win or lose. 2 points for a win, no points for losing.
Right.
The reward for losing. Which is very strange. Barbados lost to Guyana, but got 7 points for the loss. How can you lose and get points? But this is not really a true reflection of which is the strongest team in the region. This Super 50 is going to work out who's the smartest team in the
smartest,
region.
Smartest, yes. That's an interesting point, yeah.
Because it's harder for people to win and get less points for somebody that don't win. So I can't get it understand, and I don't know why Cricket West Indies would have put this on the territorial boards right away. This should have been something that would be discussed with them, given to the boards, and say, look, you implement this in your trials or your local competition, and then let's see how this comes into our first-class setup. You stick this right in the first-class setup. You play all the matches in Trinidad, Andrew. The pitches are going to deteriorate. Your run rates are going to drop as the competition gets older. You're going to struggle to hit the markers for those bonus points. This, to me, is not a true reflection of who's the strongest side in the region. This is going to come down to being smart in cricket.
Basil,
our standard of cricket is still poor. 147 versus 158. That is wrong, Andrew. I think they have it wrong. No, they're very silent on it. We may never hear from Cricket Messages about it because they're the honchos. But I believe that this is wrong. And this is not going to take our one-day cricket anywhere.
Right. Well,
I agree with you, Philo. My two concerns, I raised it from the stand when I heard about the points thing. I know the skill, our batter's skills and other, the bowlers and so on are not up to par to really get these bonus points in the way you expect. But the other problem is this, the preparation, as I was told, that is only a few weeks before the tournament, they got this bonus points. So you could prepare. And I agree, Philo, it's something that should have been done earlier. So in the trials, you were to start instituting these things.
Right.
To get a better feel for where the guys are and comfort in understanding what they have to do. So when they get into the tournament, that now seeing their performance would be a more reflection that these guys are prepared to play the cricket this way. But right. The guys obviously were to play the cricket, and we hoping you're saying in the team meetings, look, we got to get the 16 to 10 overs within 2 wickets, and they're not ready for that.
All right, gentlemen, we're out of time. It's a pity. We'll certainly continue this discussion next week. Thanks to you, David Brooks, for coming and talking to us. Thanks to you, Philo Wallace. Thanks to you, Basil Butcher Jr. Nehemiah Perry, always good. Ambassador Courtney Walsh, I'm told that you may very well be the next president of the Jamaica Cricket Association or
yes,
the Jamaica Cricket Board.
Yes, please,
we're rooting for you, Ambassador Walsh. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bright tomorrow. It's good night.